Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith and I'm here with Colleen Pilar. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Julie.
How are you today?
Doing good. I'm looking forward to talking about dogs with you.
So
how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to that, too. Would you like to introduce our problem for today?
Yeah, today we're going to talk about teaching children how to meet dogs. And I think as a society, we've done a really good job on teaching kids that they need to ask the owner for permission before petting a dog. Have you seen a big change in that?
I have. Most every child that comes up to me, unless he's, you know, under the age of four, is asking me, may I pet your dog? The problem is not with the asking, it's what comes after they ask.
Right. That's just the first step, asking the owner, and it's huge. It's very, very important. I'm so glad children are now asking the owner if they can pet the dog. The next step, the step we need to work on, is teaching kids and adults to ask the dog if they could pet the dog. And I used to go to a preschool, and I would teach this to very young children. I would teach it to the three-year-old classes. One day I was at the grocery store and a woman came over to me and she said, excuse me, I just have to ask, are you the dog lady? And I was like, what? And she said, my daughter is insisting you're the dog lady. So I was so impressed that a three-year-old could remember and spot me out of context because I had been in her class teaching her about dog safety. I was pretty thrilled. She said, oh, my daughter came home and taught me all the things. She taught me about asking the dog and then how to pet a dog. And I was delighted. So today I want to talk a little bit about that. Asking a dog, it's really, really important. And we need to teach people that you need to have a yes from the owner and a yes from the dog. So we've all seen cases where a person is like, sure, you can pet him. And the dog is saying, no,
no, no.
And then the flip side where the dog is just so happy to see you.
Yes,
and the owner's
yes,
like, could I
yes.
get him to sit first? Could I just get some control here? So we need to have both a yes from the owner and a yes from the dog.
Absolutely.
So teaching kids to ask the dog, what I teach is I teach them to stop about 5 feet away and to just sort of extend their hand forward, and then we watch the dog's response. Now, that can be a little controversial. Some people go, oh, extending the hand forward, does that look like an aggressive move? And I see that point. But the idea is we need to teach children a specific behavior that they can do to say, I'm
Correct.
Interested in you. We teach children all about be a tree when we don't want a dog to approach, which would be planting your feet, clasping your hands together and holding your arms straight down and looking sort of down at the ground. So if we're telling children to just stand there and wait for a dog to come over as a friendly behavior versus stand there and hold your hands together as an unfriendly behavior, I think that's too confusing. So I like to have the be a tree for this is I do not want to interact with you. And then facing the dog, looking at the dog gently, you know, not staring, and reaching a hand toward the dog. Then we have to see what does the dog say. So we're looking. Does the dog move behind the owner? Well, that's a no. And kids can figure this out right away. We just start talking about options. What if the dog barked? Could you pet the dog then? The kids go, no, you could never pet a barking dog. And I teach kids, you never pet a barking dog, even your own. So we don't touch barking dogs ever.
Good point. Good
point. So if your dog is barking at the front door, do not reach and grab his collar and go, oh, come on. You're being ridiculous. So we have to look at that behavior. And in order to know if a dog said yes or no, we have to know a little bit about body language.
Absolutely.
So we have to be able to recognize stress signals. So a couple of things to look for is we want loose, wiggly behavior. We want that. Like if the stereotypical happy dog face, you know, the one that we all talk about where the mouth is open and the tongue's hanging out and the eyes are sort of relaxed and the head might even be a little askew. I mean, it's just sort of a silly face. But if you say look like a happy dog, everybody makes the same face.
Absolutely. And then and I like the idea of wiggles. I have a blog on puppy wiggles, which we'll put up. And I also think, Colleen, we need to put a picture up of what you mean by be a tree. And
mm-hmm.
what appropriate is for a kid reaching out their hands so the parents can really see exactly what it is we're describing. But right. The other thing about that I like, the big happy face, but also the body all loose and wiggly. And
yes.
And meaning even people always look at the tail. Tail wagging doesn't necessarily mean we're friendly. But if the whole body's wagging, then we're friendly.
Mm-hmm. I like to encourage people to think of behavior in three categories. The dog is enjoying it. Like if we were to stop, the dog would go, hey, let's have more. The dog is tolerating it. If we were to stop, the dog says, oh, good, moving on. And the dog is trying to end it. The dog says, I've had enough. Let's have this end. And they can very politely or very rudely say, I've had enough. But absolutely. They're trying to end it. So one mistake I think we make a lot is that we see dogs who are tolerating things and we assume that's a yes. That's not a yes. That's a if you must.
Yes. And
we've all seen dogs who say, you can pet me if you must. That's not the dog I want to pet. I want to pet a dog who I joke that I don't pet dogs unless I get an engraved invitation that says, hey, you with the hands, come over here. Because dogs will tell you, oh, yes, I would love for you to touch me. But a lot of dogs, they don't want a stranger to come up and touch them. And quite frankly, why should they? You know, right. If I walked up to you and your grandchildren, and I don't know your grandchildren, and I go, oh, my goodness, you're so cute. Can I pick you up and squeeze you? The four-year-old is probably going to say no. And that's a perfectly appropriate response. Absolutely appropriate response that we would respect and acknowledge and honor in a child. And with a dog, we're like, oh, he's being unfriendly. You can pet him. It's okay. Go ahead.
Right. And I would add on to that when we happened to have been in Greece when Emma was about six, seven years old, and she had these kind of chubby cheeks, and these Greeks used to go up and just grab her cheek and pinch it to the point that Emma saw anybody walking towards us, she would run behind me. Not mm-hmm. only did she not like it, she couldn't tolerate it. She was like, I am actively going to avoid it. So I think that the same kind of thing can happen with our dogs. If
absolutely.
We constantly force them to interact when they don't want to, they're not going to learn to enjoy the interaction, and they're going to start retreating even more. And I think that's an important thing to remember. So I think one of the ways in which we can begin to understand if dogs do or do not want to approach us, what I usually tell kids is, if he ain't smiling at you, he doesn't want to talk to you. So one of my rules when I'm working with kids is a bright line that kids can really understand is never approach a dog whose mouth is closed.
Right.
Because if he's not smiling at you, he doesn't want to talk to you.
Right. And that's a really good signal. You know, if the dog's mouth is open, then there's more we can think about. But if the dog's mouth is closed, we already know there's some amount of tension there.
Right.
The dog is thinking and processing information. Let's just look at it that way. Mouth is closed, pondering options.
Yes.
Mouth open. Okay. That's probably a good sign. And we'll start with that. So looking at the pieces of that, once we get a yes, if we get a yes, so like you said, with Emma backing away, that's a clear no, because she was being touched in a way that made her uncomfortable.
Right.
So if we get a yes, then we also need to make sure we're touching dogs in ways that make them happy.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Yes.
And unfortunately, sometimes our desires are to, you know, pinch children's cheeks and hug dogs and squeeze dogs and thunk them on the head.
Right.
I mean, that's a perpetual thump, thump, thump on a dog's head.
I get a
nothing
migraine
about
just thinking
friendly.
About it.
Yes. It's so funny, but we... It's a human behavior. It's a primate behavior. It's like we have hands, so we reach.
Yes.
But that's not an appropriate way to make a dog like you more. So when we teach kids, we're teaching them, you know, ask the owner, ask the dog, and then how should we pet this dog? What could we do to make this dog like you better? What are the things? So what tips do you give children in terms of how should you touch a dog to make the dog think that you're a nice friend for dogs?
Well, what I usually tell them is that one of the best ways to pet them is to stand alongside them and then pet them on their shoulders, right on their shoulder blades, down their neck and on their back, because that's one where the really soft fur is, and so you pet that. And it's more likely that he's going to lean into you if you're standing next to him rather than if you're right in front of him, because if you're right in front of him, there's too much of a temptation to thunk him on the head. So go around to the side of him and pet him along his shoulders. And kids seem to really understand that, especially if I go up to them and go, now, tell me which one you like, and I'll do a little funk, funk, funk on the head, Or I'll pat them on the shoulder. And when I do that, they instantaneously get it. Now, this is not that I'm out abusing children. Please don't take that. But, and it's not like I'm like whacking them upside the head. But just the reaching, and they get it. The instant I start to reach over their head, they start to back away and they begin to understand exactly what I'm talking about.
And interestingly enough, I bet their mouths close too. Because I've done stuff with kids where we demonstrate it and we're like, okay, now I'm going to reach over and pet you on top of your head like your dog. So they already know what's going to happen.
Right.
And you can see their heads move back and their mouths shut and their eyes kind of bug a little bit. Yeah. So it's funny because these are not behaviors that a dog is saying, let me communicate to you what I'm feeling. They're driven by the limbic system. They're just an instantaneous response to stress. Right. They're just, oh. Let me think about that. So the body is just responding. So in petting, we really want to encourage kids not to do any sort of pat, pat, pat. Dogs really typically like slow and firm, gentle pressure, you know, right. That a stroke would be nice, whereas a thump, thump, thump tends to rev dogs up.
Right.
And we're not really encouraging children to rev dogs up. That's not the goal. The goal is
because there can be other consequences friends. There that
Right. So teaching kids, you know, this sort of low and slow and smooth petting, nice, relaxing petting and along the sides and the neck and the areas that the dog really likes, odds are if you stop, the dog will say, hey, you with the hands, try that again. That's a green light. That's a yes, I am enjoying.
So one of the things that I do, for example, I like to apply this when I'm meeting a dog that for potential that I help people if they're going to adopt a dog, is one of the things I will do is pet a dog like three times, low and slow, and step and then stop. What does the dog do? If the dog leans into me or looks up to me like you with the hands, come on back here. But if the dog goes, oh, that was enough, shakes off and walks away, that's not necessarily a really terrific family dog because family dogs are going to get a lot of touching. So you want one who seeks it out.
Right.
So it's a really, I think, very clear way to understand whether or not a dog is interested. What I was going to say, too, is one of the things that I like to tell owners who have dogs who might be a little bit iffy is that you always feel a little bad if somebody says, can I pet your dog? And you say, no. You feel kind of bad. So what I usually do, and I would used to do with my dog who was reticent with people, would say, hey, it's okay with me, but you have to ask Bingley. And that was a way to open the conversation about how do you ask a dog. So I think that's a really great thing for dog owners to keep in mind. It's all right with you to say, it's okay with me, but you have to ask Trapper, Ginger, MacGyver, whomever it may be.
Right. I think that's a really good thing. And it's also really important to teach children, hugely important to teach children, that when they get a no from either the owner or the dog, that's not typically about the child. It's about the dog. So if the dog isn't going to be comfortable with it, if the dog doesn't feel well, if the dog isn't familiar with children, if the dog is old and has arthritis, if the dog has any number of reasons it does not want to meet a child today, that either the owner or the dog is saying no, that's not about that you're not a good friend for dogs. You're a very good friend for dogs. But today, this dog said no, or this owner said no. And I always talk to kids about reasons they might say no to a friend. So if a friend came over to your house and said, would you like to go out and play? But your grandmother had just arrived, or you had just started playing a game, or you'd been playing outside and you just came back in and got warm because you'd been out in the cold, or, you know, your mom just ordered a pizza. All of those reasons, you might say no, but they're not about, I don't want to be your friend. They're just saying, not right now. And not right now is an okay message for us to hear. It's not about, I don't like you. It's about not right now.
I think that's okay. A great way of putting it, Colleen. I really like that because kids do, and people do, they get offended. That's one reason why I had it. Phrase it that way specifically, you have to ask Bingley's because I don't want owners to feel like they're offending somebody if they don't want them to pet their dog.
Right.
So I think that that's just really important.
If you have a dog that you know is not ever going to say yes to a stranger, that can be a perfectly lovely, wonderful dog with you. You know, there's no judgment here. That's cool. Right. But then your job is to set up situations so that the dog isn't being put in those moments. You know, we don't want to have a dog having to put up with people because you're not comfortable telling people no. So practice that. Find a way to say, that's not really his favorite thing, but you could throw him a treat, or he doesn't really like to do that, but he loves to do a high five wave. So from a distance, he'll wave to you or whatever. Find something that works for you, but don't be putting your dog in a situation that makes your dog unhappy, because it's perfectly reasonable to not want strangers to come touch you.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And the other thing is, I tell owners is sometimes they're like, well, I don't know what to do. And I said, okay, I am giving you permission to be your dog's advocate.
Yes.
You have my permission to step between your dog and any guy who's going to say, but all dogs like me.
Yes.
And that you do not have to apologize for it. You do not have to make any excuses. You're polite and you say, I don't think so. And he says, but all dogs like me. You have my permission to step right in between your dog and that guy, because your first responsibility is to be your dog's best and probably only advocate in this situation.
Right. It's such an important thing to be your dog's advocate. And I think there's some social pressure on us that we really feel
Absolutely.
Like people are going to judge us or judge our dogs if we say no. And that reminds me of a story from years ago. Rehoboth Beach on Columbus Day weekend frequently has a lot of greyhounds. It's like a greyhound weekend.
Why is that?
I don't know. They would used to have like events there. I don't think they're officially sanctioned events any longer, but it was called Reach the Beach, and there would be greyhounds everywhere. So it was like the funny joke. You'd see someone with three greyhounds and a cocker spaniel, and you're like, wait, one of these doesn't belong. But one night we were out walking with my son Kyle, who at the time I think he was about 10, and Kyle is the kid of a dog trainer. Kyle loves dogs, and he sees these two beautiful greyhounds walking along, and he says to the owner, may I pet your dog? And the owner says, well, you could pet him, but not her. So the owner had accurately identified that one of his dogs absolutely did not want to meet a 10-year-old boy.
Right.
However, when Kyle asked the male dog if he could pet, you know, by sort of expressing interest in the dog said no. And the dog said no very politely. The dog turned his head away and just sort of looked off into the distance like, this is not happening. And the owner said to Kyle, go on. You can pet him. It's okay. You can do it. And Kyle said, I don't think he wants me to. And it was one of my proudest parenting moments where I was like, yes, you're so kind, because he knew the dog did not want to be petted, whereas this person was being very nice to a 10-year-old boy. You know, he was trying to give a child the opportunity to pet a dog. And he was advocating for his dog, who was a little bit more fragile with the situation, who the female wasn't going to do well. The male was going to tolerate it,
right.
But the male was not going to enjoy it. And I was really proud of Kyle for recognizing that he only got one yes. He got a yes from the owner.
Right.
But he did not get a yes from the dog. And so the more we really focus on what is the dog saying, and is the dog tolerating something, or is the dog really enjoying it, from both sides, from the side of I'm the dog's advocate here, I'm the dog's owner, and I'm setting this dog up for success, or from the side of, oh, my goodness, you have a cute dog, and I'm dying to meet it. Is the dog saying yes, or is the dog saying, okay?
Right.
Really important.
So what did I'm kind of curious, what did the owner say when Kyle said that to him?
The owner pushed one more time. No, really, it's fine. And Kyle said, I don't think so. And then I said, I think you're right, Kyle. And we just took a step away and they kept walking. I don't honestly know if the person was offended or not, because he did sort of, you know, follow up with it. It's okay. You can pet him. And Kyle didn't. But in that moment, there's a pressure to like, oh, okay, here, I'll just reach out and pet your dog, because you've said it's okay.
Right.
But
and you're an adult and I'm a kid and I'm, yeah, there's a lot of pressure.
I
agree.
There's a lot of social pressure with all of this. It's very interesting how we perceive someone saying like, may I pet your dog? Like, that's friendly. Whereas your dog probably doesn't want that. So, you know, my way of saying to you how nice I think your dog is to put your dog in an uncomfortable situation. But we don't see it that way. And if we can really look at there are so many dogs that would love to meet you. There are so many dogs that would love to meet you. Let's really focus on those. So identify which dogs want to say hi and which ones don't. And the ones that do, let's make it worth their while. Let's go.
Absolutely.
On behalf of all the dogs I was not able to pet this week, you're getting it all.
I'm the man with the hands. So, yeah, no, I agree. And I think, and having had a dog who was a bit reticent with people, it's not that Bingley didn't like them, but most of the time when we were out for a walk, this was, you know, business for him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't necessarily want to talk to people. And, you know, I would feel badly when he would say no. And I think that a lot of people, they feel like somehow they failed as a dog owner if their dog does not want to say hello to everybody. And what I try to remind them is, do you like everybody you meet? Do you want to talk to everybody that you meet?
And do you want them to touch you?
Yes.
Do you want them to touch you? I mean, like, that's a whole extra step. Do you really want all of these people to touch you? And I, as a trainer, I have lots of dogs that I'll see in succession, you know, so I'll see your dog and then I'll see your dog next week. And then the third week or something, the dog goes, oh, we're best friends. Let's have petting now, you know?
Right.
And I will mention in that moment, I'll be like, look, I've finally been asked. I've been asked if I could pet, you know, and they go, oh, well, he's, you know, the dog's been totally responsive and interested in me since day one because I had food and I set up fun things. It's like, yeah, he liked you before, but he didn't like me enough to let me pet him, you know?
Right.
Well, I mean, he liked me enough to let me pet him, but I won't do that. I won't pet until he asks me to pet him.
Well,
that's where we get it.
Well, the other thing is it can cause a great deal of trauma, I think, to the dog. I had one, when I was still doing pet sitting, I had one client, had two small Shih Tzus, and she invited me over. So we were going to go through the routine. And we come in, and she has me sit down at the kitchen table, and she says, this is Lulu, and this is Lily. And I said, hi, and I would just kind of put my hand down to talk to Lily, and she backed away, and she said, oh, Lily, you're being silly, picked her up and plopped her in my lap. Mm-hmm. And both Lily and I were like,
because
I thought, oh, how uncomfortable this must be for her, and Lily's going, what happened to me? I don't know this person. So I finally was able to, I just was really quiet and calm and let Lily get down. But when I did go to pet sit, Lily wouldn't have anything to do with me. Went under the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to actually move the sofa to get Lily back out. So it can have long-term ramifications if you force your dog to do something that makes them that uncomfortable, especially if it happens over and over again, as we talked about with Emma.
Right. And it's so innocent in the intentions.
Absolutely.
I mean, the people have such good intentions in those moments. And I think that's a real challenge. The good intentions are never enough. Good intentions are only part of the equation. So that woman really wanted Lily to like you. So the quickest way to do that is to plop her on your lap. No. That's the slowest way to do that. So, whoops. So I think that's a little bit of lesson learned. But anyway, Cheech and Kids had a great dogs. You don't get to pet every dog you meet. You have to ask the owner, ask the dog, and then you need to pet a dog in a way that makes dogs happy. And if we can teach kids and practice this with them, with dogs and even just watching dogs across the street, like, what do you think that dog would say? If we were to ask, what do you think that dog would say? Because we can kind of identify some of these behaviors even from a distance. Is that dog's mouth closed? Oh, yeah, it is. Well, then I wouldn't even ask, would I? So some of that could be a very helpful thing. So in the show notes, we'll put a few links in for, you know, steps for meeting a dog and some stress signals, things like that. But the real key is to recognize that we need two yeses. We need a yes from the owner and we need a yes from the dog. And if both of them are an enthusiastic yes, not just like a if you must, but a yes, I think that's a great idea, then yeah, kids should pet dogs. If they pet them safely and appropriately and they have fun ways. So those are my thoughts on kids meeting dogs. I want kids and dogs to be really good friends. And to do that, we need to teach them to have a nice relationship built on trust and respect.
Absolutely. And the thing is the more they practice this as kids, the more successful they're going to be as dog owners when they're adults.
Absolutely.
So these are the kinds of lessons that the earlier you learn them, the more they become ingrained. And so that you're less likely to have the kind of problems that you and I see and have a lot less likely a need to hire somebody like you and I to help them as an adult.
Oh, we're putting ourselves out of business
here? We are putting ourselves out of business.
Good. That'd be fine with me. Because these adults, these kids, when they grow into adults, are going to be really good advocates for their dogs.
Absolutely.
And they're going to be really good at making other dogs feel safe with them. So meeting their friends' dogs, taking care of their friends' dogs, just meeting strangers' dogs when they go out, because they're going to know how to have safe interactions that make the dogs comfortable. Doesn't that sound that's like my dream world.
Yeah, that's right. It will happen,
that's so
Colleen.
Good.
Nirvana is on its way. So
fantastic.
Well, I think that pretty much covers this topic. We have we got another question. And this one is, my puppy scratches at his collar a lot, and when I put his leash on, it seems even worse. Why does he do that?
Yeah, that is such a common thing with puppies, because it's a new physical sensation. Like, all of a sudden, you put a collar on them, and they haven't been wearing a collar, and their body goes, whoa, wait a second, that's weird. And we've all had that experience, where you put on a different kind of clothing, or you get a new pair of jeans, and you can feel the tag. You're just so distracted by the tag. Or when I used to wear glasses, I was always conscious when I would get a new pair of glasses that I would just see the world through the frames. And I would think each time, I am never going to get used to this. These are the wrong glasses. This is a bad pair of glasses. 3 days later, I never saw the frame again. You know, right. It was just completely not relevant to my brain anymore. But in that initial stage, I would be very, very distracted by the new sensation and the new visual input. So that's what's happening with the puppy. But then if you add the leash to it, we've got the extra piece of that there can be a little bit of pressure on the collar.
Right.
And so we really like to encourage you to, you know, put a leash on in the beginning and just try to have the minimum amount of pressure, like hold it up and just follow the puppy around so that you're just trailing behind a puppy and wearing it, you know, the puppy's wearing a leash, because we don't want to have any tugging or control or anything that would make it a negative experience.
Absolutely.
Or an uncomfortable experience.
I agree. And the other thing is as he starts moving with it, if you can reach down and give him a little bit of a treat to encourage mm-hmm. him to move with this leash, especially if he's right next to your side, you give him a treat, you move along, give him a treat and move along. You're already reinforcing that loose lead walking of being
yes.
right by your side. And one of the things to be careful of is, as my daughter would put it, you don't want to put any quote-unquote violence on the leash, meaning if you tug and pull on the leash, the dog learns that tugging and pulling on the leash is an acceptable way to be on lead. So you don't want to set the precedent that tugging and pulling is okay. So if you don't tug and pull, he's less likely to tug and pull, and it's going to make your loose lead walking a lot easier to learn.
Yes. And we're so grateful for the question. We love getting questions. So if you have a question or any feedback you'd like to provide, you can give us a call at 614-349-1661, or you can visit our website, yourfamilydogpodcast.com. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Colleen. You have a great week.
See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.
Hey, if you enjoyed the show, could you do us a quick favor? Head over to iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. That will help other families find quick and easy tips for enjoying life with their dogs. Thanks!